Welcome to Downtown Dropouts. I am Braxton Steele,
Joseph Mountain,
and Chase Elder.
This is our first episode, guys.
Excited, yeah.
Yeah. Dude. Should we just start out giving a little overview of what this is, what we're doing?
Yeah. Downtown Dropouts, you know. We all live in downtown. We're all roommates. And we're dropouts, some kind of
in
another.
Some form or way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, me personally, I dropped out of college.
Me? I'm no longer in a fraternity.
And I quit my job.
He dropped out of
dropped
his
out
job.
Of my work.
So technically, we're all some form of dropout. So,
what can be expected, though, from the podcast?
We'll have one game. We'll have one day a week where we talk about the games going on in the NFL and college football. We'll cover local games. We're downtown Springfield, so we're down here. Missouri State, we'll talk about those games, and then I believe one day a week we're going to have somebody else on.
Yeah, we're going to try to get as many interviews, as many local people as possible on the podcast. It'll be fun. I'm very excited. So, let's start things off. Week 2, Thursday night. Dolphins-Bills.
Oh my gosh. Unfortunately, Tua goes down again.
Again.
With a crazy concussion. I'm pretty sure we've all talked about it. I think his brain and his skull is probably the weakest thing to ever enter in the NFL.
Yeah, I think so. Besides, obviously, DeMar Hamlin's chest. And
oh, of course.
That was a one-on-one matchup that nobody was expecting on Thursday night.
I saw this meme where it said, DeMar Hamlin lived long enough to see himself become the villain. Yeah, from an actual football aspect, before the unfortunate injury, Tua kind of sucked.
Yeah, it's been a rough start to the season for them. Obviously, I don't know what the season's going to look like going forward, but there's been some surprising teams, and there's been teams like this that have just been complete busts.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins are in that category.
Definitely expecting a lot, especially from Tua and Tyreek. Trying to see a good combo breaker here, and we're not actually, you know, turning out to be that bust.
Yeah,
you know?
Tua with 3 interceptions, 1 for a pick 6.
Yikes.
Before he went down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I would think it was earlier than that. So do you guys think that Tua will be back? I mean, they just placed him on IR today. Do you think he'll be back at all this season? Or possibly in the NFL?
I think got to go.
I think he's done. This isn't the first, not the second, not the third.
This is his fourth concussion in 2 seasons.
So I'm a strong believer that Tua might be out.
I think he should retire. And I think it's great Mike McDaniel supports him.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of support around the league. I mean, obviously a great, talented player, but there's just, after last season, that was a scary injury. And I thought he was going to be done then. And to see him come back was surprising. And no, I would just hate to see him go forward and experience another injury like that.
Yeah, so the Bills did end up winning that. But what's another game we should talk about?
Oh my gosh, we got to talk about the blowout. How about them boys?
Oh my gosh.
How about them boys? Expecting a lot coming from Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, and not getting much
not
in return.
Getting much.
We got 19 for the Cowboys, 44 for the Saints. Saints literally destroying everything. What's going on? Who's the better combo now? Prescott and Lamb? Are we doing Carr and Kamara? What's going on?
Yeah, let's talk about that Saints offense. 91 points in the first 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Nuclear.
Gary Kubiak, new offensive coordinator, has really been putting together some great game plans. I read yesterday that Carr's had 15 scoring drives within the first 2 weeks, and the first 5 possessions ended in touchdowns for New Orleans in the first half. Just absolute clinic on offense.
Yeah, no, I think what needs to be talked about in this game is the lack of Dallas's defense. Like, they're supposed to have top 2 best defense maybe in the NFL, and they just gave up 44 points to Derek Carr in his age 34 season.
Yeah, and they have Diggs, Parsons, just great playmakers on that side of the ball to let him down this week. Let's move on to the Monday night game. That was another upset.
Eagles, Falcons.
Eagles and Falcons. I got to tune into that because I was working that night, but I did get to tune in right at the last 30 seconds. Last 30 seconds might have been the most important 30 seconds of all Mondays right now. It was pretty... Actually, no. Mondays have been pretty, like, interesting in the past two... Oh, no. It was Sundays. I'm thinking about other games. But the last 30 seconds was all it needed.
Yeah. As an Eagles fan, the last 30 seconds was the worst part of that game. I gotta give it to Kirk Cousins, though. He started out like 0-9 on Monday Night Football games, and then just made that last drive look so easy, too.
Yeah, it was definitely a good day for Cousins. I forgot who had him for fantasy, but definitely racking up some points there.
Cousins wore the chain necklaces after the big wins, and I mean, well, he looks good in Atlanta this week. First week was a little rough against the Steelers, but... I mean, honestly, Philly's defense locked him down for most of the game. I don't know what happened on Philly's side of the ball. I'm a little biased, obviously, as a fan. But yeah,
fly Eagles fly.
Yeah.
Or is it fly Falcons fly now, Bax? What's going on?
The birds from Atlanta are flying this week, not from Philly.
And not the only birds of this week. We could go into the Cardinals game against the Rams. Dominating even in the first quarter. How about the first 5 minutes of the game, scoring three touchdowns?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, and Kyler Murray.
130 yards, two touchdowns on the day.
Absolutely. And guess who benched him? Me. I had Tua in. Tua got 9 points this week, I'm pretty sure. And Kyler Murray almost racking up 30 points.
Where'd you get that fantasy advice from?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Mr. Mountain over here to my right. Honestly, telling me to bench Kyler Murray.
I did tell over you to Tua. Bench Kyler.
And
I thought he would. I don't know.
Even though, like, I'm not the biggest pro in NFL right now, but I didn't even know the fact that Tua had other concussions, and still yet we put Tua above anything else, and it's kind of ridiculous play. Because we could have projected, honestly, that he was going to have another concussion at some point during the season.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a good game for him before.
No.
No, it was awful.
Absolutely not.
I played the Bills' defense this week. Bad.
Yeah. No, but Kyler, I mean, so much fun to watch still. The way he could scramble the pocket, he made so many plays this week.
Yeah, there was definitely, I would almost call him some mountaintop moments just from Kyler.
We might have to touch on that later.
Yeah.
Let's go to breaking news around the league.
Breaking news. Bryce Young got benched. Former number one overall pick just of last year is benched for Andy Dalton.
The Red Rocket from Cincinnati.
Red Rocket. Have you ever seen a picture of Andy Dalton, Chase?
I don't want to see a picture of the Red Rocket.
The Red Rocket.
I'm good, actually.
I would have to assume that it's got to be just for him to sit back and get more experience. And benching a first-round pick like this early on, there's no way that Carolina's done with him yet, but I could be wrong on that. This might be the direction they take from now on.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it's unfair to Bryce Young, because he's had plenty of starting opportunities. 18 games he started, and he has, a 2-16 record?
Yeah, I mean, not a great Carolina roster around him offensively, but there's not much there, and I don't know. I think at some point you do have to move on, or at least let him get some time to back up. I mean, we've seen a lot of good quarterbacks in the past that took a year behind. I mean, Mahomes was that way. Aaron Rodgers was that way. Jordan Love was that way behind Aaron Rodgers. And so maybe he does just need to sit behind the Red Rocket in Carolina for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see that. Other news around the league, injuries.
What's going on? Injuries everywhere.
Injuries are everywhere this year.
I know, CMC owners, I could not draft him this year. I did not want to take that risk.
What about Isaiah Pacheco, the Chiefs' homeboy running back?
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. Was the best wake up I've ever had. I woke up that morning, I looked at NFL, and I saw the fact that Pacheco was out for 6 weeks. The amount of people that put that on their stories with crying emojis, and it's just like, I got.
Why does that bring you joy?
I was just, it's so funny. I've been rooting for first week rooting for the Ravens. You were there with me, Joe, and second week rooting for the Bengals, and finally getting to see Pacheco down.
They got some narrow wins last week.
I know, and you know it's gonna be pretty crazy to see what comes on in week three.
I saw this random stat that since entering the league, Mahomes has the most interceptions overturned by defensive penalties in the league at 56.
I wonder why that's the case.
I don't know.
It can't do anything to do with the refs. It's just
If
bad defense, I guess. Bad defensive discipline.
If you guys are unaware, none of us really like the Chiefs. I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan. Braxton's an Eagles fan.
And Chase, I'm just a bandwagon.
Chase is a bandwagon. He was a huge Cowboys fan last year.
Yeah, but I think I'm putting them in the pocket ever since that Saints loss. I mean, I might be rooting for the Saints this year just to get to the Super Bowl. I think it might be interesting.
What about fantasy football? Yeah. How'd that look for you guys this week?
Got my first win this week. I was commish, and I had to really come in clutch for you there once you fell asleep after your shift.
No, that's so real. I do owe Braxton a huge, all my gratitude, honestly, just because I did have three empty players going into this week. I had misclicked. I had done something wrong. And I was missing a kicker, I was missing a tight end, and I was missing a defense. It was not looking good for my fantasy. It was very bad. I was in bad mind right there. But I actually did get my first W, locked it in for this week, for week two. Points were looking really good. Tua didn't do too bad, but he was awful. Justin Jefferson.
What?
Justin Jefferson actually kind of carried my team there. And I would almost say carried the Vikings too to their W.
It was another interesting game.
Yeah, I'm upset.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that Alvin Kamara was the fantasy pick of the week? It's undoubtable.
Oh, unbelievable.
I unfortunately had the pleasure of going against Alvin Kamara. I am 0-2 on the season.
How many points did Kamara put up?
He put up 46.
46.
On the nose. Yeah, he did. He did do pretty good. Finished with 115 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 65 receiving yards, and a receiving touchdown.
I mean, I haven't seen a game like that out of him for a while, since that Christmas game against Minnesota, I think it was.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's nice to know that he can still just put it on like that anytime.
What about the new segments?
Yes.
Yeah. We're super excited about these new segments. Chase, why don't you start us off with the Chase Down?
Dude, let's do it. So this segment's going to be going over just a brief overview, maybe recapping the scores of each individual game. So we can start out, of course, with the first game that took us off, with the Bills and the Dolphins, with the Bills going 31-10 there. And Tua, of course, suffering that big injury. He's now out of my fantasy league and out of a following of 1,000 other people. I believe I got that notification the other day. Vikings wrapping things up against the 49ers, going 23-17. Justin Jefferson putting in the work. He almost got 30 points. And thank God he's on my team. That was beautiful.
I'm so happy they beat the Niners.
I'm so happy, too. Justin Jefferson might be getting a cardboard cut out of him soon. Just putting it in my room, carrying my fantasy league.
Imagine that you just wake up and you see Justin Jefferson in your corner.
I know. Then coming down to our first close game with our OT of the Seahawks and the Patriots. Seahawks taking the W, getting that last field goal, making it all count.
Yeah, they did.
Of course, Joe wasn't very happy that whole game. But whenever the Seahawks
won the game.
They got the game, and that's all
go
that matters.
Hawks, baby.
Then coming up with a pretty boring game, I'd say, we had the Commanders and the Giants, where I think the Commanders did kick 7 field goals.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how that game went.
It is.
Which we're getting a pattern of one team doing this. We had the Steelers doing it last week.
I believe they won the game on
and they
goal.
Won the game on a field goal as well. Then coming to the Chargers and Panthers, not much to say here. Chargers taking the dub 26-3. Panthers are just
in shambles.
They are
like,
not.
Poverty organization. It's just
they're in panic mode.
Yeah. Talking about shambles, we got Sunday's game with the Saints and the Cowboys. I was rooting for the boys all the way, and the Saints literally put them away.
It was a
disaster for anybody, because nobody was rooting for the Saints. I bet there was so much money lost on that game. There had to be so much money lost.
Speaking of money lost on that game, Braxton was rooting for the Saints. And I placed a bet with Braxton that the Cowboys would just straight up beat the Saints. Unfortunately, that was farther, way farther from the truth than I would have liked. I did lose that bet.
I think that was immediate regret. Just came out right away.
Going on to the next game was the Packers and the Colts. I didn't get to look at this game, but Packers catching the dub 16-10. Browns sneaking past the Jags this week, going 18 and beating them 18-13. Going into the Jets and the Titans, the Jets beating the Titans 24-17. Buccaneers actually beating the Lions.
That was
this week.
That was crazy. A week of upsets.
There was a lot of things going on, and the Lions, I thought they had a chance going into this season or going into this, you know, year. And getting shut down by the Bucs this early is not a good start for them. Getting shut down 20-16. Wow, here we go. A big game. Raiders versus the Ravens, 26-23. I guarantee you, just like the Cowboys game, there was a lot of money lost. So many parlays and so many different things that just did not go that way. And Raiders catching the W, 26-23. Next game, this was probably one of my more favorite games to watch just because of the attention getter we had in the first 5 minutes, like we were talking about. The Cardinals and the Rams. Kyler Murray, honestly, making plays, getting out of the pocket, and scrambling, throwing the ball, getting insane touchdowns, insane reviews. It was our replays. It was honestly insane. It was a lot of fun to watch. Going 41, beating the Rams to 10. Chiefs barely sliding through to the Bengals this week. It was pretty intense.
It was a very heavily officiated game.
Yeah, it was, you know, I'm sure if you just open up your feet anywhere, there's, you know, Patrick Mahomes kissing the refs and all that other stuff and, you know, sliding a bill under the table or something like that. I've seen it multiple times. But the Chiefs, you know, catching the dub 26-25. Steelers making it away from the Broncos, going 13-6. Texans getting on top here. I want to root for the Saints, but honestly, the Texans are, you know, they got my eye. I have their defense this week, and they got 15 points. It was pretty good. Going from 10, I think I was watching it go down all the way to like 5, and then it boosted back up to 15, which was a pretty crazy game against the Bears. And then finally wrapping it off of last night's game, Falcons beating the Eagles by 1 point. And the last 30 seconds, their final touchdown was all that they needed to wrap up. The score was 15-21, got to 21-21, and that last field goal was everything they needed.
Heartbreaking loss.
Yeah, but
I would, if I was an Eagles fan, I would, I'd be destroyed.
Yeah.
Losing to Kirko Chains.
Yeah.
Yep.
Captain Kirk.
It was definitely a game to end off. I mean, what were you, like, honestly, what could we have expected, though? There was so many different L's and so many different things that were just not hitting this
Lots
week.
Lots of upsets.
I would have just sat in my chair and just guessed the fact that the Falcons were going to beat the Eagles just off of everything else that happened.
So many upsets. Nothing was predictable this week. Let's move on to our next segment, the mountaintop moments.
Yeah, so the mountaintop moments of the week. I'm going to highlight some players that really just reached the peak of the mountain this week in their performance. Let's start it off with, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Cardinals. Really, really lit it up with an electric Kyler Murray performance. Marvin Harrison Jr. logged 4 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Insane.
It reminds me of like the Randy Moss post where it's like 3 catches, 100 and something yards, and 3 touchdowns. It was that type of game.
Marvin Harrison definitely stole the show. Week 1 looked pretty shaky. 1 catch for 4 yards. Week 2, way better. Yeah.
He said, let's jump the gun. Zero to hero in 1 week.
He flipped that switch this week. Kyler Murray came out publicly and said, we're not going to force the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know what forcing the ball looks like to Kyler Murray, but if 130 yards and 2 touchdowns isn't forcing the ball, imagine what forcing it looks like. Our second player to reach his peak for performance this week is Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
6th overall pick for the Giants. 10 catches, 127 yards, and 1 touchdown. You know, really just a big point for him this year to step into the wide receiver 1 role with, honestly, pretty lackluster quarterback play from Danny Dimes.
That's another quarterback that just continues to disappoint. I'm sorry to anybody who had to watch that game. Field goal after field goal.
Very boring game. But that could take us to Baltimore, where another rookie, if you haven't guessed the theme, it is all rookies this week. Another rookie lit it up for the Raiders. Brock Bowers at tight end. 9 catches, 98 yards. Brock Bowers has arrived.
Yeah, and you've been trying to trade him all like week for anything
else. I have been trying to trade Brock Bowers.
Trade him while he's hot.
Exactly. Put up 15 points this week. Might as well trade him.
And I didn't know on top of that Cade also had Harrison.
Yeah.
Scoring 30 points.
yeah.
in fantasy.
I did and go up against Marvin Harrison and Alvin Kamara.
And Kamara. That was, I mean, that could have probably just beat any team. Like,
oh, he put up 183 this week.
I know.
Yeah.
That's pretty yep. crazy.
Oh, I know it. Brock Bauer is really stepping into the role of why they drafted him 13th overall this year. Great tight end at Georgia, better tight end in the NFL. But that should lead us to our third segment, Steal the Show.
Yes. This week, got a few teams that stole the show, starting in Minnesota with the Vikings. Going up against the 49ers, 23-17 was the final score. J.J. McCarthy's been out, but the team has really been stepping up so far this season. Going 2-0. I mean, rolled New York last week. Beat the Giants 28-6. And then Sam Darnold's really been stepping into that role.
Sam Darnold veteran is QB. Back.
Yeah. Not expect so many upsets this week, so it's really hard to make much of it right now. But they're 2-0 and they're first in the NFC North. They stole the show early. And then Sunday night, we had another great game. But I believe Monday night was the one. Yes. Falcons-Eagles, Monday night. Kirk Cousins stole the show on Monday
Kirk
night.
Kirk Cousins stole... Can you say that one more time?
As much as it pains me to say as an Eagles fan, Kirk Cousins stole the show. Monday night football. Infamously bad quarterback in prime time, but really lit it up in the last 30 seconds.
You know, I think he lit it up that entire game.
You know, don't want to admit it.
Yeah, you just don't want to admit it. Finding Darnell Mooney for that first touchdown.
Yeah.
What a play by the ex-Bears receiver.
Flip into the end zone, stiff-armed C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
It's really just that Falcons team arrived.
They have some weapons. Him and Drake London, Kyle Pitts,
Bijan.
I mean, that's a good team. It was a good game last night, really.
Oh, yeah. What about for the local aspect?
Local aspect. So moving off to the show, we have Missouri State in their home opener against Londonwood. Pulled it off 28-14.
They did.
To win the first game at home.
Bear up.
We were there. What did you think of the game?
You know, I thought the game had an electric environment. We had to look for seating. Like, we really had to look to find enough seats for the four of us that went. And it was awesome. Everyone was watching the game. People were screaming, chanting. Dudes had their shirts off, bodies painted.
Yeah.
It was great.
I guarantee you, even going into that game, I wasn't there, nor was I a part of it, but going in from last year, tailgating season, at least for MSU, the Bears can't really speak up for, like, much of their things, but tailgating for MSU right behind Fredenberger is probably one of the most electric events that goes on. I wish I could have been there, but...
Well, you drove by earlier. You got to get a look. Was it still pretty busy first game?
It was hectic. Just riding by my, like, electric scooter, parking my car. Like, of course you have, like, the band kids that are, like, walking around and guiding parents, but also just getting a good look. Like, you could see fraternities and all, like, truck beds. You could see all the guys in the back. You could see Pike, especially, in their fire truck hauling people from their Darty house. And, of course, wheeling them back to the tailgate. It was... very, you know, it just got me kind of fired up.
Yeah.
Got me fired up for the season. Not only for the Bears, but just to see how the season goes for MSU with tailgating and seeing everything wrap up this year. I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, rough start, 0-2 last year. Didn't go well, but always stay hopeful. Power rankings came out for the NFL.
ESPN's NFL power rankings did come out for this week.
We got a little bit of movement there.
Who we got? Number one?
Kansas
obviously,
City,
KC.
Staying at number one. Super Bowl champs. Staying at the top. Bills moved up from 8-2.
Ooh, there you go.
I really like the Texans at 4. I think that's so surprising. Like, the way that they've been able to jump up these last few years with Stroud at quarterback. I mean, they're a legit team.
Yeah, no, I think the Texans are the next, like, they're my Super Bowl pick for this year.
That's what I'm thinking. I think the Texans have a really good chance.
Let's talk about this week's biggest riser, the Saints.
The Saints
New Orleans.
Yes. From 23 last week to 9.
Yeah.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, no, I think that was insane to me to see them go from 23 up to 9. I know they absolutely dismantled the Cowboys, but wow.
I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, but right now I think they have the best offense in the NFL.
This Saints team looks insane.
They're motivated. They're in the right mindset. I think I'm really excited to see her. What they got going on for week 3? What's their...
Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah.
This is going to be...
This will be the test.
This will be a pretty good test. Hopefully A.J. Brown comes back. I know he was out for this week.
Yeah, it looks like questionable right now.
Yeah, he's questionable for what, hamstring or quadriceps?
Yeah,
I'm really rooting forward to that. And we can go into that games next week. What are we looking forward to in that sense? Because honestly, I'm pretty excited to see where the Saints go.
Yeah, that Eagles-Saints game that'll be interesting. Philly's coming off a tough loss. Saints are red hot right now, but that's still a really strong Philly defense that they're going to have to face. Probably better than both of the defenses they've faced so far,
Fair
to say.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. A matchup I'm excited for is next Sunday in the afternoon at 3, Ravens-Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, teams that got widely upset this past week. They're going to be coming in looking for something to prove. Ravens don't even have that first win of the season yet, which is crazy to say. But I think another good matchup, Chiefs-Falcons.
I was going to say Chiefs-Falcons.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a Super Bowl at one point? Or
no.
Eagles and Falcons, right?
No, it was the Chiefs and the Eagles.
Oh, Chiefs and Eagles.
Eagles-Falcons played.
That's okay, though.
Playoffs, maybe.
Okay.
Same conference. But, yeah, I'm more in favor of rooting for Kirk Cousins now than I was this on Monday night. Chiefs sneaking by the last 2 weeks, some narrow wins. I think this will be a big matchup. I think it could be a high-scoring game, too.
Yeah, I definitely think it could be.
I think another one to look forward to, because, of course, we have the Saints finally having a pretty good matchup with the Eagles, but we're all rooting for the Texans, but this is going to be a time for them to show off, too, going against the Vikings. I think this is going to be a pretty tough game, pretty tough matchup, but I think it's going to be pretty intense. And honestly, that might be a good way to close things off with all the new matchups.
Yeah.
And all the kind of crazy teams coming out.
Looking forward to next week.
Looking forward to next week. And we're looking forward to talking about it with you guys next week.